some of you pastors and ministers and pastors' wives and deacons need to hear is the reason you are not able to retain new converts is because you set the standard so high that they'll never be able to meet them, so they leave to find somewhere else to go. And sometimes they leave and don't want to find help from anywhere else.
Welcome back to the Everyday Christian Podcast, where we apply scriptural principles to everyday Christian lives. I'm Sean Sloggett.
And I'm John Rich, and today we're going to discuss the topic, why don't I feel saved? Or Brother Sean, better question, how do I know I am saved? You know, this is an episode that we pray helps you today, helps those who are struggling with that question. I know I've struggled with that before, struggled with both of those questions, actually. We're going to sort of tackle both of them at the same time in this episode. Before we get started, I just want to thank those who are listening, thank those who have followed us. I think we've grown by like 80 followers on TikTok, which is really cool. Whoop, whoop. You know, it's not that big a deal, but it's kind of cool to see the different people who have shared our post, liked our post, and commented on our Facebook post, our YouTube videos, and just slowly starting to see the boat churning, I guess. I don't know if boat's the right word, but anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. We want to just talk tonight about why don't I feel saved? And firstly, I want to address this episode for those who are listening to go back. If you haven't listened to episode 69, which is whose version of saved are you? It's very good. It addresses some of these issues that and topics that we probably won't go as deep into this episode tonight. But if you want a little bit more context, go back and listen to that episode. And this is sort of in a way a follow-up to that. And the reason I say all that is to say this. The question, how do I know I am saved, typically stems from two things. The first thing that it stems from is whether or not others have confirmed you are saved. And the second thing that it stems from is the mental struggle that we battle. Let's firstly, Brother Sean, I want to look at the first portion of that, whether or not others have confirmed that I'm saved. You know, in this point, we often look at and listen to what others say in regards to our salvation. I said it before, and I'll say it again. At the moment of our salvation experience and spiritual awakening, if you will, we often look to others who claim to be saved for guidance on how to look saved, how to act saved, how to stay saved, which in a nutshell is not the worst thing to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with having people to look up to or having an example of leadership to look up to. And sometimes it's a good thing to look up to others who are saved, who are trying to draw closer to God. But in return, oftentimes what happens is our standard for salvation and our standard for staying saved comes from other people. The unfortunate truth about living like that and using others as our standard is that the standard is often too high to meet. Especially when we're first saved. You know, I remember when I was first saved, Brother Sean and I were just talking about that before this episode. We're talking about our salvation experience, you know. That's sort of a very modern way to put it, salvation or spiritual awakening. But I remember the night that I was saved, you know, God miraculously changed me. I barely remember anything that I said. I don't remember saying anything. I just remember saying, other than God help me, you know, that's about it. Other than that, I just cried and you know, I just felt an inward change. And it was almost as if the moment afterwards, you know, there were influences that were very kind to me, that were very loving. And not one time did I ever get from certain influences that I looked up to this feeling of, well, you can't be saved because you haven't done this, this, and this, or you can't be saved because you haven't given up this, this, and this. Right. But on the flip side, there were people that I didn't really look up to, I'm just going to be honest with you, who did sort of give me that feeling. And I feel like I was blessed because, you know, my parents were raised in church, that we sort of knew church culture, knew, you know, who to look up to, who to not look up to, who to listen to, who to not listen to. And so I was blessed in that. But there are individuals that have an experience with God, have an encounter with God. God changes them and they feel that change. That if they were to face some of the people that I faced, or they were to face some of the people that some of you have faced, they probably either didn't stay saved for very long, Or they ended up going to another church or to another fellowship, Brother Sean.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about your experience that you had. I'm actually the complete opposite. I honestly don't remember. Yeah, I know as a young child I was saved, but in my teenage years I feel like I had backslidden away, and I can't tell you. I, you know, some people may question, are you sure you're still saved or not? That's none of your business. That's between me and God. No.
Yeah, right.
But I can tell you with confidence, I am saved.
Yeah.
You know, some people remember everything that happened. They remember the song that was playing. They remember the preacher and what message was preached and all that. You know, Brother Jonathan knows some of what happened. I can't tell you a day, I can't tell you a time, but I can tell you this, God changed my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, that's sort of the unfortunate truth. We'll go back to that. Well, that's sort of the unfortunate truth about living like that and using others as our standard. As I mentioned, that standard is often too high to meet, and what I mean by that is we sort of have this idea of how people should get saved.
Yeah.
You know, we have this sort of already predetermined in our mind how people should be saved. Well, you know, if the music's playing right and if, you know, the preacher's preaching hard and if they come down to the altar and they cry and, you know, they put things into a burn barrel or they lay things down at the altar, then that is the true salvation experience. That means that they're really saved.
I can tell you of a guy that had and to me, it was a phenomenal experience. I wasn't there, but he said that the message was preached, everything happened, and he felt like it was time for him to go pray to get saved. And he said he stood up. And this is his words, and I know the guy, and I believe with all my heart he's saved. I mean, he's great man. He said he stepped out into the aisle, and he said, somewhere between the first step and the altar, I was already saved.
Mm, yeah.
He said, I didn't even have to pray the words.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, again, the words, I'm not,
right.
You know, going through the motions. Those are all things that are very beneficial. He knew in his heart already.
Yeah.
Where he was and what he needed to do, and he was making those steps towards it.
Yeah.
And within maybe the first two or three steps, he would say it wasn't at the altar. It wasn't
right, you know, at the same time.
That perfect setup where everybody's beating your back and
yeah.
telling you need to worship the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. but it was there. Everybody will have different experiences.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I was mentioning earlier. You know, I'll share this with the audience here. You know, Paul, probably the greatest missionary ever known, you know, one of the greatest ever known, wrote several books of the Bible in the New Testament. I said, almost said especially in the New Testament. Well, he only wrote in the New Testament. Okay, so we'll...
Especially,
yeah, very, very high emphasis on New Testament.
Some of his Old Testament books yeah, that Paul wrote weren't that great.
Yeah, but they're iffy, you know. But I talk about him because he had a different salvation experience than anyone else. And I don't remember or recall reading, and maybe somewhere through history, someone had something similar or something close to it. But imagine if Paul, on the road to Damascus, God reveals himself and like shines down on Paul. Paul changes his life, is blinded, you know, he goes on. Eventually he becomes someone who tries to save the lost as opposed to persecute Christians. Imagine him going to save the lost and saying, look, you can't be saved because Jesus didn't shine a light from heaven onto you on a road.
Yeah.
You know, that was something that was a unique experience for Paul. And Brother Sean just shared a little bit about a unique experience he had and this other brother had. I shared an experience. Like, there's so many different ways that we become saved. But when God's drawing us, and whatever moment that is, if we would just surrender in that moment. It doesn't matter the how. You know, that dude took one step, and it was like somewhere step between there and the altar, he said he felt that he got saved. You know, sometimes that's all that it takes. It doesn't take, you know, a bunch of random words. It doesn't take a bunch of recited prayers. It just takes that willingness to surrender. And I think that that's where we sort of, you know, that's where a lot of this stems from, this question of like, am I really saved, or did I really get saved, or you know, am I staying saved? And it's an incorrect view. You know, at the moment of our salvation, if it immediately turns into what can I give up or what can I do to stay saved, then that's an incorrect view of salvation. And we need to understand that salvation, it only comes from Christ. It doesn't come from works. It doesn't come from a 12-step program or come from, you know, saying this specific prayer. It comes from faith in Christ alone. And I want to just say this. I've got this in my notes. I get it. There's rabbit trails that we go on, but I need to say this. Some of you pastors and ministers and pastors' wives and deacons need to hear is the reason you are not able to retain new converts is because you set the standard so high that they'll never be able to meet them, so they leave to find somewhere else to go. And sometimes they leave and don't want to find help from anywhere else. I know that that's harsh, it's hard to hear, but we need to set an environment in our churches for people who, not just to come and get saved, but also to stay comfortable after they're saved, to also realize that, look, I'm going to live how I feel like God wants me to live, and that's great. How God wants me to live is not always necessarily how God wants them to live. Things that God wants me to give up is not always going to be things that God wants them to give up. You don't need others to confirm for you that you're saved. You know, if I was sitting here and I'm telling Brother Sean, you know, Brother Sean, you don't know the exact date and time and moment, and you don't know the place that you were saved, you can't be saved. None of that would matter. Why? He just said it. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm changed. I know that God has helped me. When you get saved, and how many of you get saved, it likely took place at different times, at different places, in different styles. But one thing we all have in common is that we all had an awakening in our souls and a change inwardly that truly cannot be explained. We had peace again. We had hope again. We had deliverance again. We had an experience that we will never forget, or rather, not just, you know, some people, they don't remember that one moment, but they had an inward change that they'll never forget. I'm not going to give you, you know, I spoke about a 12-step program or how to know or things that you can do to be saved. But really, I just want to tell you what's in the Word of God. You know, first of all, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Savior and is Lord, that's salvation. If you've repented and turned away from sin, that's salvation. If you have a new heart and new life, and you know what I did when I got saved? I wanted to tell people. Yep. Like, those are the examples or those are proof that you're saved when you have those things, Brother Sean.
I like where you're going with this. I stepped back just a little bit farther than you did. I started at John 3:16. At John 3:16. Yeah. If you want to question salvation, or do I have it? Am I saved?
Yeah.
First thing we need to look at. How do I know I'm saved?
Yeah.
Back up just a little bit. For God so loved the world,
right,
that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Look at the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ paid for it all. That's the first step. It's already taken care of.
Right.
It's nothing extra that we have to do. Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
Next thing you look at, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That points right back to the cross, John 3:16. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not you.
Right.
It's not anything you could have done. It was Christ alone. And from those, the fruits that we see, the love, First John chapter 3, I think, and it talks about loving your brethren. That if Christ has changed you, that when you pass from death to life, I don't remember exactly word for word how it goes, but you see those fruits.
Yeah.
It's love. It's I've got to share this with somebody.
Yeah.
When you see somebody truly get it, and I'm not trying to degrade other people or say some didn't, some didn't, but they get up and they say, I got to tell somebody else about this. This is amazing. Even if they're the most violent people you've ever met, I think I've spoken of Bill Matthews before on this podcast.
Yeah.
A guy that multiple people would say he would rather kill you than look at you. Yeah. On the streets of downtown Tulsa. He wasn't in a church. Again, this is another experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wasn't in a church, wasn't surrounded by any preachers, any deacons, any lay members, nobody. Probably surrounded by drug addicts and prostitutes and pimps and everything else you can think of. God spoke to him on the streets and saved him. I didn't know him before that. When I met him, he was the guy that would give you the shirt off his back. Mm. Didn't matter what was wrong. You need somebody to pray for you? I wanted somebody to see if we can get a hold of Bill Matthews.
Yeah.
He was still living in downtown Tulsa when he passed.
Mm.
He wasn't homeless. I'm sorry. He was for several years. He ended up moving back in with his mom. But for several years, he still lived down there. Didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
He was changed.
Right.
Yeah. And Christ will change you.
Yeah.
Feelings are very volatile. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we get confused a lot of times, is we start struggling with this. When we start struggling with this, I feel.
Yeah.
And we've all heard this saying on the political side of it, but I kind of thought it. Do you know what I'm going? Facts don't care about your feelings.
There you go. Old Ben Shapiro there.
Yeah. I must say this on the spiritual side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The facts don't care about your feelings.
Right. You're right.
Do we need the joy of the Lord? Absolutely. Do we need the peace? Absolutely. But is there days when you're going to wake up and you're going to be miserable and you're going to be sick and you're not going to feel like doing anything and you're going to start questioning everything in life? Yes.
Absolutely.
What are the facts, though? Let's look at the facts of it.
Yeah.
Christ died for you. Have you done anything to change that? Yes, I've repented. I've asked forgiveness. Great. Now, have you done anything to cause that you may need to come back and ask for a little more repentance or forgiveness? Or have you rejected, but that's not the word. Have you turned your back on things that you should be doing to try and grow your spiritual walk?
Yeah.
If not, look at the facts. You're probably still saved.
Right. You know, I think that's a great point, and it sort of puts us into this next category, which is that mental struggle. You talked a little bit about what do others think and how do others get saved and all that. But going to that mental struggle, I think that something that plagues many believers is the idea that I've lost my salvation, or I feel like I'm no longer saved. And I want to point this out. I have to leave this little cliff note in here. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I don't. You can challenge me on that. I don't really care. I just don't believe that you can stay saved and completely turn your back on God. But that's for another podcast. I believe you can lose your salvation by the leap, but I also believe that it's a lot harder than people think. You know, we have a mental struggle that says, if I sin even once, I'm no longer saved.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you that that's not true. You know, some of you have kids. You love your kids with everything in you. You desire what is best for them. I know I love my children. And if you're a sane parent, you have a heart of forgiveness for them after you discipline them. You know, Brother Sean, if I were to say, and I wrote this in my notes, if I were to say, and I'm sure he has, but if Brecken lied to you, would you kick him out of your family? Yes or no?
No, because I need somebody to carry on the slogan name.
Yeah. If Whitley stole candy from a store, would you give her away to someone else? You're like, well, let me think about it.
To her mom, maybe.
Any sane parent would say no.
Right.
But why is that? It's because you love them and they're a part of your family. So why is it that we treat God like he's just some big jerk who's waiting for the opportunity for us to mess up so that he can kick us out of his family? That's not how God works. And what's the beauty of it is that he's put and instilled that same love in most of us.
I believe that's situational, though.
Yeah.
And this is why I think that. Here we are. We disagree.
No, we don't disagree. I agree with what you're saying. Wondered, yeah.
Moses did one thing wrong.
Yeah.
In the desert. God said, speak to the rock.
And he smote
it. The second time.
Right.
And he smote it. And God said, for that, you will not enter.
Yeah. Did Moses go to hell?
No.
No?
Not that we know of.
I don't believe he did. Anyway.
No, I don't believe he did.
Go ahead.
But they were promised. They were told there's a land for you.
Yeah.
And he did one thing wrong.
Yeah.
And he was denied it.
Yeah.
But there are other instances throughout the Bible where multiple times. Look at Samson.
Yeah.
How many times did Samson turn his back on God?
Right.
Over and over and over and over again. And still was accepted. Now, I'm not saying that.
I've got a rebuttal for you here, and now we're going to fight here. No, go ahead.
I believe both of them made it into heaven.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that one time and God will kick you out or you'll lose your salvation. I'm not saying that you can do it several times. Some of it comes down to your heart.
Yeah.
You know, if you lie, we'll just use lying or stealing because that was brought up. One time, you know what's wrong.
Right.
But you intend to do better.
Yeah.
And you start trying to make steps towards doing better.
Yeah.
I think that's forgivable.
Yeah.
If you go do it and you have if you're walking in there to do it and your conscience gets pricked on your way in there and you push it aside and you still go do it anyway. And before you walk out the door, you're like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go do it again the next grocery store I go to.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to lie to them. You may be backslidden.
Yeah. Well, two things to that. And if you just let me finish, I would have got to that exact point. Sheesh. No, I'm kidding. Two things to that. And this is why I'm glad you brought that up, because this is where it all kinds of falls into place in my mind. You know, cause I agree with you, you know, if Brecken's sitting there, you know, lying over and over again, I mean, you're going to discipline him. And that's kind of where I'm getting at too with this is, you know, you sort of feel that chastisement from God when you do those things, or that prick of the Holy Ghost, you know, in your heart. I believe that that's there for a reason, you know. Right. And if you turn and you pray and you're trying to do right, I feel like that's good. But here's the beauty of like
repent and remorse.
Yeah, let me sidestep here and come back. That's the beauty of Moses in that moment. You know, you mentioned Moses smiting the rock. That was a picture of Christ. That was a picture of Christ, him smiting the rock. And so we can go into that. We don't have to, but this is the beauty of that is, yes, we're under grace. God is still God. God hasn't changed, but he did send his son to die for us. And that's where grace kind of makes up the difference. you know, if I am disciplined by God and chastised by God and I don't turn or I don't try to do better, we've got a problem. Like you said, you know, yeah, you're sort of going towards that backslidden state to where eventually you just won't want to have anything to do with God. But when we're disciplined by God, I mean, that's the wonderful news of God's grace. Mm-hmm. He could say, you've sinned, you've lied, you've stolen, you've cheated, you know, you've done all these things even after salvation. So now you're no longer allowed into heaven or allowed into paradise. But that's why Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's why when I sin or if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. And I think that that's sort of the mental struggle. And it's going along, it goes along a lot with what you said. You know, we say we're debating and we're just kind of messing and joking around. A lot of what we're saying is similar. You know, I said last episode, we don't always agree on everything, but I agree with a lot of, and most of, if not all of what he said. But that is a sort of a mental struggle that we all go through, is this struggle of, you know, not just the sin aspect of it, which a lot of us struggle with, which, by the way, if you sin, ask God for forgiveness.
That's all.
Turn away and try not to do it again. And if you do it again, ask God for forgiveness, turn away and try not to do it again. Like, don't think, well, I've struggled with it 15 times and now God's not going to love me and God doesn't save me. Okay, don't do it the 16th time and then don't do it the 17th. I like, just keep working. And eventually, my guarantee is if you keep trying, God's going to forgive you as many times. You know, Brother Sean shared the 70 times 7 on here a couple times, and I love it. Yeah. But God's going to forgive you that many times as you're believing in your heart. Now, if you go out and you sin and you're just like, you know what, God forgive me, God forgive me, God forgive me, and you're just saying it with your words, there's something wrong with that.
Or if you do it knowing God, knowing
God will forgive you. Yeah, there's obviously something wrong with that. But we're talking like sin and mistakes in sin. You can ask for forgiveness and Jesus will forgive you and you can turn away. But another aspect of that is this thought process of, I'm not doing enough, Brother Sean. You know, I think about this sort of like, how do I get saved? How do I know I'm saved? How do I stay saved? And sometimes I struggle with that thought of, maybe I'm not doing enough. You know, maybe I'm not reading my Bible enough. Maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not teaching my kids enough. Maybe I don't help others enough. And I think we all, if we were honest with ourselves, would say we sort of struggle with those thoughts. Like, maybe I'm not doing as much as I should be doing. And I say that to say, first of all, God's grace is enough. God's grace makes up the difference, but not to the extent of you can't do anything and God's grace just goes 100%. God expects you to do something, to work, to try. But to say, you know what, Brother Sean, I usually read 3 chapters of the Bible a day, and this morning I read 1 verse of the Bible. Maybe I'm not saved, or maybe I'm not as close as God as I should be. Or, you know what, this morning, usually I pray for an hour in the morning and then I go about my day. But this morning I was in such a rush, I accidentally woke up late, my alarm didn't go off, and I only got 5 minutes of prayer in. Stop beating yourself up. Stop treating yourself like, oh, well, you know, I didn't do what I've always done, so that must mean that I'm not saved. You know, we have to stop beating ourselves up when we're genuinely trying. And I think that, and I feel for those mothers out there. You know, I don't share a lot about my personal life. Sister Morgan, you know, we've been married 13 years this year. We've got 3 kids. And something that she always tells me is, I just feel, we don't have one on the way, Brother Sean. I'm not cutting to that camera to show him saying one on the way. But she's a stay-at-home mom. She homeschools the kids. She does so much. And there's just times where she's just sitting in my arms and she's just like, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. to get closer to God. Like, I've got all these things. I'm cleaning constantly. I'm taking care of kids. I'm teaching kids. I'm cleaning them. I'm making sure that they're fed every day. I just don't feel like I've put enough time and stock in God. Like, I wake up and I read sometimes just a chapter of the Bible a day, and then the kids just go crazy. And my answer is always the same. And I wanted to share that with you all here that are listening. If you're a mother, if you're someone who's struggling, you've got kids and you're doing everything, this is what I tell her. God knows and God understands. And you need to hear that. Like, I'm not saying God lets you sin. I'm not saying that God lets you do whatever you want. I'm just saying that God understands where you're at in this life. And God knows and sees that you're trying. He knows and sees that sometimes you struggle, and His grace is still sufficient for you, and His grace is still enough for you, Brother Sean.
I went and looked up that scripture in 1 John that I was talking about. 1 John 3, and I'll start at 14. I'm going to read several scriptures here real quick. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. If you want to know, am I saved? 1 John 3. Go read that chapter.
Yeah.
You know, we've all, I'm sure most of us have had the question, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
Probably not. And yeah, that's just right. The way I see it.
Right.
I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but if you feel like you're not doing enough for the kingdom, you're probably not. I don't feel like I'm doing enough for the kingdom at
me
times.
Neither.
Most of the time. But love your brethren.
Yeah.
Obey the commandments.
Yeah.
How do I know if I'm really saved? Are you obeying the commandments of God? It's almost that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We know the commandments, and I'm not talking just about the Ten Commandments. I mean, those included. But are you following after Christ?
Yeah.
Brother John.
Yeah, no, his example, and that's what's important is, you know, he said like 10 commandments, but are you following the commandment of loving your neighbor? You know, you're following the commandment of trying to help others. And, you know, we talked about, you know, we're kind of going back and forth here, and I like this because we're talking about like, you know, the backslidden state or the state of slowly starting to drift away from God. You need to ask yourself that, like,
read verse 23.
Am I saved? And this is his commandment in verse 23, 1 John 23, that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another. Yeah, as he gave us commandment.
It's all together.
Yeah. It ties hand in hand there. And I think that that's sort of the question that needs to be, that begs to be asked is, you know, how do I know I'm saved, or how do I know that I'm not drifting away from God? And that is a good scripture to use. Do I love others? Ask yourself that right now. Do I love others as Christ loved me? Do I love and give and help? And am I doing what I can to volunteer and help those who are struggling? You know, if the answer to that is no, it's not, hey, you're not saved, first of all. It's maybe I'm not as close to God as I should be. And I think that that's where you sort of, a lot of us sort of get that disconnect is, if I'm not as close to God as I should be, that means I'm not saved, and it's not. It just means you can turn back to God and draw closer to Him with prayer and asking Him to put those things and that love back in your heart.
I like what you said there. It's doing more for Christ.
Yeah.
You know, am I saved? And that disconnect, oftentimes I wonder when we're questioning and asking ourselves, am I really saved? Mm-hmm. Or how do I know if I'm saved? What we're really asking ourselves is, am I doing enough?
Yeah.
Or am I close enough to Christ?
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There may be those out there. I'm not saying that there's not, and that's what this podcast especially is for, is to help you understand if you're saved, help you understand, you know, if you feel saved or not.
Yeah.
But if you would really look at it, I think most of us, when we ask that question, it may be because we're feeling a disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that disconnect is not a salvation issue.
Right.
It's a, what more can I do?
Yeah.
Or why is it that I don't feel like I'm close enough to God?
Yeah.
Maybe because we need to do more.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to that, I was talking about like Brecken and Whitley, Jackson, Jude, Emmeline, like that just applies to me. It's like, you know, if I don't talk to Jackson for a couple days, I start feeling it. And I'm just like, dude, I haven't hung out with my oldest for a little while. You know, I haven't really, you know, just talk to him, and I desire that, I crave that. And it's not, hey, me, get rid of him. It's not, hey, me, send him somewhere else. It's when he's ready to talk, we talk. When he's ready to, you know, hang out, we hang out. When he's ready to chill, we chill. You know, it's just, that's just how it works. And I think a lot of times our walk with God is like that too. You know, we're constantly going through valleys, and we're constantly going up mountains, and we're constantly going through valleys and dry lands and times where we just don't feel God. And at that moment, you know, it's time to reconnect with Him. It's time to draw closer to Him. Your failure's not final. You know, I've mentioned that before, but sometimes your failure is just a stepping stone that you can use to get closer and get back to God. Get back up tomorrow and do better. Get back up tomorrow and take two steps forward. Discipline yourself. Don't let a day or a moment of weakness determine your entire life. Don't let a day that you forgot to pray determine your salvation. Just turn back and get closer to Him. Evaluate yourself. When you get to the moment, Brother Sean, we're getting close to closing, but when you get to the moment of that question is, am I really saved? Start evaluating. You know, that's the moment you can stop, take a step back and say, am I as close to God as I should be? Am I doing what I should be? Am I trying like I should be?
Yeah.
I'm not succeeding all the time. I'm not 100% perfect, but am I at the very least trying to get closer to Him? If the answer to any of those questions is no, then start doing those things. And I think eventually you will come out of that slump, that mental struggle of, am I really saved, Brother Sean?
Yeah.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode. We pray and hope that it helps someone, challenge someone to realize the difference in being disconnected and being lost or backslidden, and knowing and how to tell whether or not you're saved. And we pray for everyone listening that it does help you in some way. If any of our lessons, if any of our podcasts have helped you, please let us know. Send us a message. It encourages us. It helps us to want to produce more content, knowing that someone has helped.
Or if you have any questions about anything that we've said.
Yeah.
You know, this, I know we've talked about several different ones. since I started, and Brother John and Brother Gabe had done, was it somewhere around 70?
Probably, yeah, close to 60, 65, somewhere around there, yeah.
60, 65 yeah. before. But if you were listening to any of them and you have any questions, reach out to us and let us know about it. We'd like to, you know, try and help you even more if we can.
Here's
these podcasts, we have to limit them sometime or we'll be here all night.
Yeah, and we could be.
Brother John and I both, you guys don't know this, cause this is all kind of behind the scenes stuff. But we'll sit here and talk for 30 minutes before we even start it about varieties of things and different angles. And but you can't make a podcast that is that long. So feel free to reach out to us with any questions or just give us a little bit of feedback, positive preferably, but
even negative, we'll take it. You know, and I love that too. We've had people do that before that have just message just called us and just said, hey, explain what you meant here. I'm more than happy to do that. Like, I'm not afraid to do that. So please message us. Please reach out to us. We love it. You can find us, Brother Sean. You guys may or may not know this, but you can find us on the podcast platform of your choice by searching The Everyday Christian Podcast. That's The Every and Day or Separate Christian Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. I think we're on like Snapchat. We're everywhere. By searching at Podcast For Him. That's at Podcast For Him. We are starting to see a lot of growth on there. We're very thankful for that. Very blessed for that.
Thank you.
We give God the glory. We pray that this episode's helped you. And we want to thank you for listening in. And God bless.
God bless.